Welcome back to Songs That Send Us. This week we're talking about a Shadden pick,
Yeehaw.
505, by the Arctic Monkeys. You know, we're going to apologize in advance. We've been chatting for the last whole hour
drinking.
Before recording this. And if I'm a little drunk right now, we'll see if that
comes Annie,
through. I'm feeling
Annie,
good right now, but
Annie,
we never know.
Question. What are you drinking? What's the beverage of choice?
I'm drinking some wine right now because I'm feeling bougie.
Ooh.
I'm drinking red.
Wow.
What are you drinking, Shadden?
I'm having a Stella Artois, which is what was in the fridge.
A classic. We respect. It is 8:30 at night on a Friday night, so just so you guys are aware.
We're so
it's
fun.
It's respectable that we're drinking.
We're so
right
fun,
now.
Honestly.
Yeah. Should we do an introduction for people who don't know who we are, though?
Sure.
I mean, this is Songs That Send Us. Each episode, we talk about a song we love. We usually give a few recs beforehand on other songs we've noticed this week.
Bop Talk.
Bop Talk, as we call it. But I'm Annie, and...
I'm Shadden. Shadden has a shag right now. It's a haircut.
She's
I'm so excited about it.
Right now, guys. You guys
I really am.
Know.
Not to flex on myself,
no,
but I just got it done.
Good.
And yeah, we're having a moment.
It's important to, you know, just let people know what the pod's about, because who knows? Maybe Arctic Monkeys will bring us new fans. We don't know.
Oh, that's true. This is an iconic song, so I would believe it.
Oh, absolutely. 505.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before that, though, we've got to talk about what have we been listening to this week. Do you have some bop talks you want to bring to the table?
The pressure's on. Do you know what? I actually have been very obsessed with songs I've talked about before on Bop Talk, but I always have something new to share.
We
so I'm going
that.
To share some new songs. Yeah, because you know what? I know you rely so much on me giving you
it's true.
The goods.
Oh, to be honest, I have been listening a bunch to the Benny Blanco song that you brought last
Hell
week.
Hell yeah! Mm-hmm.
It
Hell
made
yeah.
its way onto one of my playlists, so...
Ah, which one? You gotta spill the tea.
Which one did it make it onto? It might be one that's still in development, TBH.
Oh, getting a sneak peek?
Yeah, I'm starting a new playlist called Love is Mostly War.
Context, what does that mean?
It's just, I think, like, songs that kind of encapsulate, like, sometimes blurry lines of, like, love. You know, the give
oh.
and take. Not always, like, pure love, so.
Do you know what my first thought was? Mm. And I'm gonna, like, expose myself, but one of my good friends, one of my besties, Lorraine, shout out Lorraine if she's listening, but she was supposed to do the Beach House episode with us, and she didn't. Anyways, so we obviously, as, you know, many youths did, read The Hunger Games in... I think it was high school. And we were, like, screaming about Cato and Clove in our heads. We, like, imagined they had some, like...
Oh, not to out myself, but I've definitely read some fan fiction about them. Go ahead.
Okay, same. Okay, it was really good fic, though. Because it was, like, these, like, people who grew up in, like, this aggressive, like, district. And that is one of the first things I thought of just now when you said, like, the blurred lines between love and war.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, great. Good stuff. Anywho.
I love that some of our audience
so,
will absolutely know what the fuck we're talking about, and some will be like, what
they'll stop
am listening, I
listening
right
now. Yeah. And they'll be like, hard skip. So, for my couple of picks for the week, I like Hippocampus, and they had a new song called Bang Bang.
Ooh,
and here it is.
It
Yeehaw.
Damn, what I'm gonna take, my life got a bad impression from some bad advice. It's a cold cut from my heart, not life. Bang, bang, cheap, cheap, back it up now. Damn, what I'm gonna take, my life got a bad impression from some bad advice. It's a cold cut from my heart, not life. Bang, bang, cheap, cheap, back it up now.
Not to play the whole song, but that part gets me going.
Yeah,
anyways.
Campus is always such a good vibe. I love that. I need to listen to that.
Yeah, I'm not... They remind me a little bit... Oh, fuck, what's the band? I don't know if you're familiar with Bad Sons.
I don't think so.
Should I play some Bad Sons for you? No, I shouldn't. I was gonna say, should I... Because they remind me a bit of Bad Sons, and I'd gone to a Bad Sons concert with one of my friends, and they were really good, and I feel like they probably have similar fan bases, Bad Sons and Hippocampus, because they're both very, like, indie. It's one of my favorites.
I might know this. Oh, I know this.
You might.
I know this.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
From where?
I have no idea. I know this fucking song, though.
I've been trying to keep my grip. Yeah, I think I'm over
I'm so sorry. This is such a good song, though.
It's so wild how I have no idea how I've heard that song, where I've heard that song.
That's funny.
You played that, and I was like, oh, I know this song.
You knew it.
I know it.
Literally, a second in, you knew it. Yeah, that's impressive. This has been on my, like, songs for ages now, and it's called Trojan Horse by Sebastian Paul. I don't think he's super well-known, but I really enjoy his music.
This is good, though. I like this.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very vibey.
Yeah. These are my contributions.
I love that.
I would like to hear yours. I eagerly await.
You might already know, because you like Sylvan Esso, right?
I do. I haven't listened to anything new.
This is not a new song.
From Sylvan.
This is old song that I just recently discovered in the making of a playlist, but it's called Hey Mommy by Sylvan Esso. Do you know this one?
I think I've heard this. I think I've heard it. Let's give it a go.
She owns the eyes as she flies by through the sound, moving her body all around town.
I want to play the whole song because it gets so cool towards the end with like added beats and stuff, but it just, I love like how her voice plays in that song because it just is jumping around and it's bopping around, and it's also cool because the whole song's about catcalling.
Did you make that connection?
Yeah, no, I didn't really feel it at first either, but it's about catcalling, and so I thought that was really cool.
I think there's something so so unique about Sylvan Esso as well. All of Sylvan Esso's songs, but also this one, it made me, and I think you're like, now that you mentioned it, it's about catcalling, I can totally see it, but the whole, like, it sounds like it's being recorded, like, live on the streets of somewhere, which feels very, like, city catcalling energy and stuff like that. So I like the dedication to that there.
Yes, the effect is truly being created there.
Oh. Indeed.
So then the other song I wanted to bring was Icarus by Fanna Hughes, I believe. Hmm. This one I feel like you probably don't know. I don't know when this one came out, though. I don't know how recent this one is. It's fun. It's got a great beat, and her voice is really pretty. I just love, like, the background vocals of it, too.
I really liked the background vocals. It just, Sunday energy is what that song gives me. Yeah. Those are our little bops for the week. We have a bop talk playlist. If anyone would like to check out what we've been bopping to, because obviously you have superior taste and all that jazz.
Yes, and total snaps to Shadon for that one, because she keeps that beach uploaded. Nope, that's not the word. She keeps that updated.
Yeah, uploaded. I do need to update recently, but yeah, I mostly do. Thanks for the shout out. On to 505, which, like, technically, I told my phone today when I was driving home, I was like, play 505 by Arctic Monkeys. And Siri goes, playing 505. So, you know.
It's 505, though. I won't hear people calling it 505. That's weird.
Yeah, same. I would agree. Yes. So I'm sure many of you are familiar with Arctic Monkeys, the group from Sheffield, England. They are probably the biggest thing to come out of Sheffield, which is pretty cool, honestly. But yes, so they're aggressively British, all of them. And the group consists of four men, Alex Turner, which I'm sure most of you know, the singer, and Jamie Cook, Matt Helders, he's also pretty well-known, I think, too. Well, they all are. Nick O'Malley as well, bass player, and Jamie's the guitarist. Matt's the drummer. Fun fact, I took graphic design in, I think, 8th or 9th grade, and we had to do a project, and I had seen Arctic Monkeys. I've seen them twice, not to, flex on you. But, yeah, but we had to do a graphic design project, and I took, the photo I took at the first time I saw them, and I photoshopped it onto the moon.
Iconic. That needs to be our Instagram post for the week.
I should find that. It was so fugly, thinking back on it now. I think I got, a B on it, but, you know. Anyways. But yeah, and but this song, 505, which is, to be quite honest, I think it might be their most popular.
It has to be. If not the most popular, at least top three.
It's definitely top, five hard for sure. According to Spotify, 505. Oh, okay, it was dethroned. It's top five. It's number four. It's their top fourth listened song on Spotify. Number one is Do I Want to Know, interestingly. And then Why'd You Only Call Me When You're High, both of which were off of their 2013 album AM, but 505 is one of the songs off of their second album, Favorite Worst Nightmare, which dropped in 2007. So they've been around for a hot couple minutes. Yeah. And interestingly, Alex had this to say about the song 505. He said it was the first proper love song we've done, as in oh, it's that one person, which is pretty cool because I don't think they're – well, okay, I will say Alex Turner's one of the best lyricists around. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair thing to say. I know there's this iconic note, I'm certain you've seen it, that he wrote, him and Alexa Chung dated, and they were a power couple, and he wrote this really gorgeous, lovely love note to her, and it's done the rounds on, Tumblr and Twitter, and it's just really beautifully worded and, almost poetic. It's there's a line in there, I haven't shut up since the last time you kissed me or something. And I don't know, I just think it speaks to, let me actually find the line. But what is your favorite Arctic Monkey song? Because this is one of mine, but I also really enjoy Fluorescent Adolescence.
Yeah, this would definitely be one of my top favorite Arctic Monkey songs. I would say I haven't listened to them as much since, high school or early college, so mm-hmm. I know this I know Favorite Worst Nightmare a lot, and I know AM a lot.
Yeah.
So I'd say another one of my favorite songs is Wanna Be Yours from AM.
That's a good one. I think they had so much commercial success, not commercial, mainstream success with AM. So many people liked it. That was a really, you could hear those songs playing on mm-hmm. I don't know, the really popular radio stations, not just the indie alternative ones. But yeah, so the line was, my mouth hasn't shut up about you since you kissed it, which I think is just a really gorgeous line.
It is. That's beautiful.
Anyways, he's a great lyricist, and that is seen in the song.
And yet it's so interesting to say that this song is the first proper love song we've done, when there's so many elements in this mm-hmm. song that speak to devotion and love, but not necessarily maybe pure love or healthy
love. Not
your
typical love song. Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe we should listen to it first before we talk about it.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going back to 505. If it's a 7-hour flight or a 45-minute drive, in my imagination you're waiting, lying on your side with your hands between your thighs. Stop. When you look at me like that, my darling, what?
I chose the worst place to stop.
I know, I was going to say, how do you have the manpower, the self-control to stop after, but I crumble completely when you cry. It's
how do you stop this song at any point? You just gotta write it out.
This song builds so well. We talk about that all the time and how it builds, but I mean, like, you start with that.
One of the best.
Well, really, you're starting with the chorus at first, and it starts in this very open, dreamy kind of feeling, and then
like eerie.
Yeah, it's eerie. It feels off kilter, and then you go into that first verse, and you start to get a beat, and that like beat makes you feel. I think anytime you have, you know, really heavy beats or any, you know, drums or bass or anything, that's keeping your time, and that's making you feel like you're on a clock a little bit more. And so I think the fact that the background beat is picking up throughout, it makes you feel like, oh, a little like, you know, I don't know, I'm not speaking very well, but
no, and I think honestly, it's a real like testament to the whole band, not just Alex, but like, you know, Matt on the drums, like Jamie, Nick, like how they all kind of are contributing to the song to like create this energy, because like the instrumentals are such a big part of this song.
Oh yeah,
it's just like it gets you like the whole time, and like the most iconic part. But I crumble completely when you cry. Like, that build is, like, what you're waiting for the entire song. And, like, everyone is doing their part in the band to, like, get you there kind of thing. Yeah. But
it's like the climax of the song.
Yeah, completely. And, I mean, like, they just, like, start so strong lyrically. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going back to 505, which, like, I'm sure there are a million theories about what that stands for. But I feel like it's, like, clearly, like, some, like, part of the relationship. Like, you know.
I have some notes on that. So,
oh, do you? Okay.
Because it's theorized 505 could mean several things, obviously. It can mean a hotel. Some people say it's like a hotel room that she's staying in.
Apartment. Yeah.
Some people say that could be a zip or like an area code. But there's also, 505 can also refer to something. Urban Dictionary has told me this as well as some of other sites, but 505 can also relate to a thing that is simultaneously keeping you alive and killing you. Often used to describe a person who you're in love with, but maybe bad for you.
Okay, sorry. Was that written after, like, the song?
So I don't know.
That context is so
I've seen this in, like, some articles and things like that, but I don't know if this song originated term or if this song is in relation to that term. So that's where my research falls. But
that's amazing, though, and I think that's, like, such a great definition of this song, and it kind of, like, wraps it all into, like, a bow in a bit of a sense, kind of, because I mean, like Alex said, it's a love song, but it's not like your traditional happy one. It's kind of got some like darker elements. And like, I think that definition of 505, like it's keeping you alive, so much love, but killing you. You can see that kind of like in the lyrics in this song, for example, what's the one? I probably still adore you with your hands around my neck.
Oh, yeah.
Funny. Yeah. Because I mean, yes, like that gets some people off, but also second, like kind of. You can clearly take that as, like, choking you in, like, a negative context, like, abusive or toxic or whatever. Not, like, straight-up abusive, but, like, not the happiest of things. So there's, like, layers to that.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there's definitely, I mean, obviously there's a sexual energy to the song that can kind of play on some of those themes, too. I mean, even in the chorus, like, in my imagination, you're waiting, lying on your side with your hands between your thighs, which can be read sexually, for sure, or it could be read as something, you know, different.
Yeah.
So there is that edge to that, and there's definitely this edge to the song that's clearly being so into someone, but perhaps it's not healthy, or it's too into someone.
No, I completely agree. And like going on that line too, like back to that same line, like I still agree with your hands around my neck, like that just shows how much power she has in this relationship. Like, yeah, maybe they both love each other, but like she could really like fuck him up, and like has probably. But it's also like, again, very different like version interpretations of this song, and we can talk a little bit more about that later, but it's like that's like one layer and take on it, and it's just so interesting that that's one of the definitions of 505, because like that's so appropriate looking at that, because like you don't always love things that are good for you, you know. Always know when to let go,
and I think a lot of times we are, I mean they say love is blind, like we are the most blind sometimes when we have that outward devotion of something, and so the things we're willing to forgive when we crave what that other person has to offer us, you know, can be I think something that's really interesting that I don't think I've ever thought about as much when I listen to the song is just in that first lyric and in the chorus of the I'm going back to 505, because when I first hear that, I kind of like, oh, they're returning to their love. They've been gone. They're coming back.
Yeah.
But it speaks to something that's a past moment too. So that also kind of alludes to perhaps like that cycle of abuse or something of that too, of like, I've tried to quit this, but I can't, and I'm going back to this. So that's interesting too, that you could, again, like they, I think Arctic Monkey does such a good job of having lyrics.
Arctic Monkey, singular?
Yeah, just the single Arctic Monkey. Not the plural. My favorite Arctic Monkey, not all of the Arctic Monkeys, but no, they do such a good job. They do such a good job with their lyricism that so many things are like kind of vague enough to pull multiple interpretations from, which is, I think, part of the appeal in some ways to their lyrics.
It's amazing because it's a lot of their songs like that. But I do think too, like I'm going back to 505, could just be like, yeah, like you said, the past, but like a memory of the good times, not the realistic version. So like, and even like you can see that in my imagination, you're waiting, lying on your side with your hands between your thighs, like in his imagination, she's like smiling and like waiting for him or whatever, be it in a sexual sense or be it in like a just like comfort waiting for him to like, I don't know, come back from tour or something. So I think that's kind of like hinting that this is like over and he doesn't like want to like fully accept it or whatever. But just like great stuff to start off the song. And then like you go into the second verse, stop and wait a sec. Oh, when you look at me like that, my darling, what did you expect? Like, again, that just speaks to, I feel like, her power.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's just him. You can feel that so strongly, that like potential power imbalance, but also
I think
even if we're not looking at it in a negative light, like when you care about someone, there is a power you have over someone who loves you. And so like, I love that line too. When you look at me like that, my darling, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Like, obviously you can do this to me. Like, don't you understand the power you have over me? It's just such a intriguing concept.
It really is. And I tune in, we talked about this line already, I probably still draw with your hands around my neck, but I did last time I checked, it's kind of like, wait, what's the reality of this, you know? Like, am I really into this and how our relationship actually is, or is it what I remember or the idea of it kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that speaks to the idea too, in my imagination you're waiting, because I think a lot of this too is what does, you know, kind of the narrator of this, the singer of this, the you know, person in the song, thinking about in terms of this relationship and what's actually real. Like, there's a very blurry line, and I think that's seen in the lyrics, and that's also maybe kind of seen in the eerie feeling of the song, that it's not necessarily as concrete as it could be. It's kind of abstract.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked a little bit about the kind of the darker lyrics, but I think that comes like full force in the next bit. A knife twists up the thought that I should fall short of the mark, frightened by the bite, though it's no harsher than the bark, which just... A plus lyrics there. But I think it's kind of just like the thought of like him not meeting almost the expectations or whatever, like makes him, do you know what I mean? Like when you get so like anxious about something or like stressed, and it just like you can physically feel a reaction to it. That's kind of like what I'm getting for that bit.
No, absolutely. I think too of just like that feeling too, of just like, am I gonna meet the mark? Am I gonna be good enough for this person? And it's so shaded. I mean, if we're looking at this too as a potentially unhealthy relationship, which there's a lot that alludes to that, like just that feeling of like, I need to be good enough for them so that this can work out, when it's not maybe functioning the way it should right now, but of needing to be good enough.
And it, but like not even necessarily toxic, but it's like, I've never been in love, but like, I don't know if you have, but it's like the idea of like, this is taking context what Alex said, like this is, oh, it's that one person, like the first proper love song. It's like, you don't want to lose that or jeopardize that in any way.
I think
so. It's like,
whether
it's
healthy or unhealthy, I think that is a very common feeling when you're in love with someone, of being like, I want to be good enough for them, and I don't want to fail them in what they need from me. Yeah.
I love that. Are you okay with me playing some more? Or should we talk about But I Crumble Completely?
We can listen to the rest of it and then reference that line, I think.
But I crumble completely when you... Sorry, so I'm good. Just... Yeah.
Bye.
Amazon.com. It is really interesting, too, since I've had the pleasure of seeing this live twice.
Flex.
No, but it is actually really interesting to see kind of, and I love watching live Arctic Monkeys videos of, like, their older stuff, mm-hmm. particularly, just because Alex's voice and, like, his style of singing has changed so much over the years. Granted, like, so has their style of music, but obviously he's going to sing some older stuff. And anytime he sings Marty Bum, which is a great one, too, it's a fun one, or 505, like, back in the day, I don't know, pre-2013, which is when AM came out, he sounded very still, like, young, and, like, if this song can be taken more in, like, a heartbreaky way, but then, like, modern day Arctic Monkeys are, like, post-2013, which is when he sounded very, like, deep-voiced and, you know, like, a certain kind of way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know necessarily how to describe it, but very, like, adult and, like, sultry, and it's kind of, like, the song sounds so different live just because of the way he sings now. And so it's just really interesting because it's less like raw the way he sings it, but
and I feel like that probably in some ways changes like the interpretation or the meaning of the song a little mm-hmm. bit too, because when yeah. you're, you know, hearing these lyrics and this song sung by someone who's younger, it probably feels mm-hmm. a little more naive, and then when you've heard it from mm-hmm. someone a little bit older, especially yeah. a song that is referring to I'm going back to, or, you know, this is yeah. an experience I'm going back to, it probably feels like it's coming from a place of more like, I don't know, yeah. maturity or retrospect, yeah. which is interesting.
Especially the line, but I crumble completely when you cry, yeah. which
again, it's, I feel like the song is so on the edge of like,
yes,
it's just like, it's on a knife edge. Cause like, but I crumble completely when you yeah. cry. It's such a relatable feeling to when you care about someone. Like if I'm seeing someone I yeah. care about cry in front of me, obviously yeah. I'm going to feel that. But also at the same time, but I crumble completely when you cry. Like my own feelings mm-hmm. rely so much on your own feelings, and I'm walking on eggshells mm-hmm. around your feelings. So it's everything yeah. in the song feels like it's such on like a
unstable
yeah. perfect edge of like, yeah. I could interpret this multiple ways.
Yeah. And it's like, maybe it started great, but now it's at the point where it's like, it seems like once again, you've had to greet me with goodbye. Mm-hmm. Like it's just not matching up. They're not matching up in whatever sense, you know? So it's just like, and then even, I don't know, and it's just like such a normal lyric, the next two lines, I'm always just about to go and spoil a surprise, take my hands off of your eyes too soon, which is kind of like a, oh, you know, it was like an accident, unintentional, like, what's the word for mistake? Like hiccup type of, no, that's not what I'm looking for. Unintentional, I don't know what I'm saying. Unintentional thing to happen, like, you know, oh, like I spoiled a surprise, but obviously like it wasn't on purpose. It was just like, no harm done kind of thing. Like, I didn't mean anything by yeah. it. I didn't want to, like, ruin it. But it's just, like, it's no longer...
I just keep making these mistakes. That's what it feels like
to me.
Do you
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It yeah. just feels like I can't help myself from making these mistakes and not doing the thing that you're hoping for me
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm
exactly.
well-intentioned in what I'm trying to do, but it's not yeah. coming out
Thank
right.
Thank you for, like, yeah. translating what I said, because that didn't make any sense. But that's exactly it. And then... I think it's just almost like a fantasy to get back to 505, essentially. Yeah. And it was like, yeah.
And I mean, I think that last, I mean, the last chorus, we have an addition that we receive in no other chorus, which is at the end with that lyric, and a smile. So like, in my imagination, you're waiting, lying on your side with your hands between your thighs, and a smile, which I feel like speaks to that like kind of conclusion of a new feeling, like not just the sexualization of her maybe, but like that desire for reciprocation of like this to be good when maybe it's really not.
Yeah. Oh, that almost like extras. Yeah, you're right. That extra completely speak. That extra completely speaks. that completely reinforces the idea that this is like a fantasy, and it's, he wants it all to be so like how it used to be at the beginning, or like, yeah. you know, just good, and it's not, I can't get back to that, but
which is so hard. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you like, it's just feels like they can see the good in this person and they love this person so completely, but it's yeah. just, it's not what they want it to be, but they can still yeah imagine what it could be or what it yeah. once was, and that's very tragic.
Which I mean, I feel like that's definitely like a love song at its core, just yeah. like wanting this like idea, you know, or like just romanticizing something.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And so I think cool.
you can have genuine yeah. love for a person and still yeah. realize that maybe it's not going to work yeah. or it's not good for you. But it's hard to give up on that because yeah. you feel like love should be the end, you know?
Mm-hmm. This used to be, like, I used to replay this. I have this on vinyl, The Favorite Worst Nightmare. And my Lorraine and I used to play it, like, when we were being emo yeah. and just, like, sit in darkness and listen to it because it's, like, such a good song. And it makes sense why so many people love yeah. it. So
I love
yeah,
this song.
Good stuff.
So good.
Okay, hit me. We haven't done it in a hot minute, but hit me with your favorite line.
Ooh, my favorite line. I mean, yeah. if I'm thinking about the line that I love the most with the music attached to it. I mean, you can't beat "But I Crumble Completely When You Cry." That moment is a fucking climax, and it hits so hard.
Yeah. And we like scream it with
them. Yeah, you feel that. You can't not feel that. But if I'm looking just like what I love lyrically the most, I might say I think there's something really nice about "Frightened by the Bite," though it's no harsher than the bark. Because it's just kind of fun to like play on a cliche and reword it. I think that was a really like fun reinvention of that as a cliche, I think.
Love that.
I mean, is there any other moments, or is it for you, "But I Crumble Completely When You Cry"?
But I crumble.
You just can't beat that moment in the song. It hits so hard.
You can't. You can't. It truly, truly does. Like, just great combination of everything. Good stuff. Good stuff there.
So good. Well, so good. That's our little analysis of
that's our little podcast Bible episode. Five.
Hopefully it was good. Who's to say? Not me. I'll figure out when I'm editing it.
Scared I am. Yoda moment there for you. Star Wars fans, where you at? Anyways.
Would you like to know what I've picked for next week, Shannon?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Always waiting on the edge of my seat.
So I've decided to finally pick a song from a female artist that I talk about all the time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Hozier.
No, I feel like Hozier has to be a joint decision when we finally decide to do it.
Facts. Fair, fair, fair.
And I'm not picking their most popular song. I'm picking my favorite song by them, probably.
Oh, I think I know who this is.
I'm picking...
Florence?
Nope. I'm still too scared to do Florence. It's too hard. I'm Fake. Picking Deep End by Holly Humberstone.
Ah, cool. Okay. I like that. We both like that song. You introduced me to her.
Yeah, so I love Holly. She's an up-and-comer a little bit, but she's getting bigger, for sure.
Up-and-comer my ass. She's, like, opening for Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, it's true. And she's been, like, literally on late night, so she's not really up-and-coming anymore. But she's gotten so popular in the last just, like, year without barely having her. But anyways, we'll talk about her next. Yeah, she has, like, an EP, and she's been on late night. It's crazy. Anywho,
Queen.
We'll be talking about that next week, and...
Send us off, Annie.
In the meantime, you can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, at Songs That Send Us. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love a rating and a review, if you'd be so kind. If you're on Spotify Podcast listening to us, follow us, give us a follow. And we found out you can rate us, so give us a rating too.
I was just going to say, I thought I was clever, but I'm not actually. I was going to say, you can also find us in real life in Texas and Minnesota.
If you can find us, we'll give you extra points and we'll feature you on the pod.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But we love you guys as always, and we so appreciate you listening to us ramble for 40 minutes. So God bless you.
We're gonna love you, Lydia.